It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-4 to St. Louis in the shootout, 29-14-4. Gain a standings point, 62 points on the year. Next in action Thursday in St. Louis against these very same Blues. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at today's game and the surge from Vegas in the third period, what stands out to you about maybe not so much how the game started, but certainly how it finished?
Well, they are scoring more extra man goals than we've ever seen. That includes the power play. Now they have scored three times with their goaltender on the bench for an extra attacker. And in those circumstances, they lost in extra time. So they did it in Seattle. Petrangelo scored late, forced overtime, they lost. Today they got two with the goalie on the bench, force overtime, but lost in a shootout. So it is certainly better than the opposite of not coming from behind. And they do have so many third period comebacks this year. And now they're back to plus 31 in third periods. It is exciting. You know, it's just, I suppose you'd love to get to that level of urgency and dynamic play sooner and more consistently. Much of that third period, there just was not a lot going on. And that's not to say that the Golden Knights played poorly. It was more a matter of the Blues played very well in sort of a shutdown mode. And they have, you know, some different personnel than from what we've seen over the years. Obviously, Fowler is new, Suter is new, Broberg is new, new to this team. We know them well from other teams, obviously. Tucker is a young player who's up from the American League. So you've got those players who are new to this blue line, but they managed to really stifle the Golden Knights. First time Jim Montgomery has coached the Blues against the Knights. And the even strength has not been as productive for Vegas. They got the power play goal from Hurdle in the first. Power play's been great this year, now six games in a row. They've scored a power play goal. The franchise record is 9. They now have 30 power play goals this year. And then obviously they got 2 in the third with a 6-on-5 situation. It's just a little bit of a head scratcher that they are not producing more at even strength right now. And that's what's got to change, whether it was what Bruce Cassidy did in the second period in Chicago, where he jumbled up the lines and, you know, threw everything into a tizzy, or something else. Whatever it is, you know, it just does not look quite in sync. And as we just talked about a few moments ago, Gary and I were saying how, you know, Mark Stone and Jack Eichel had as good an opportunity to score in overtime as you'll find. And they both missed the net. Eichel had a wide open net with no goalie. Stone missed the net on a 1-on-0 breakaway. That obviously happens quite rarely.
You're right on that. So I guess kind of the question leading into the rematch against St. Louis on Thursday is, did you see enough in this game to change things up when it comes to the lineup combinations, all of that? Or because you got going late, and I know they're 6-on-5 goals, not 5-on-5, I understand that, but do you maybe throw a different look at St. Louis on Thursday?
Yeah, I thought about that. Even coming into this game, Ryan, yeah, because Bruce had changed so much during the second period, and he used the word awesome to describe that second period. Yeah. We saw more today that the defensemen were rotating. It was less about the forwards moving around today, and, you know, the defensemen combinations, it wasn't, you know, firmly one guy with another guy. It seemed like some sort of a rotation that I couldn't quite decipher in certain situations and so on. But I wonder if there's something in the offing there. But I think that, you know, as Bruce said on the pregame show, he said we're going to go back to our regular lines. Mm-hmm. Now, regular lines is an interesting term. It is relative because they haven't had everybody healthy very often. So our regular lines, as we saw them, is what, you know, Bruce on paper thinks is the best combination of players. But we all know that what you have on paper does not always prove to be the most successful in practice. So I wouldn't be surprised if he goes with the same combination to start. Mm-hmm. But depending on how things go, perhaps you've got your finger on the button to change things up. But, you know, it's hard to say. You want so much for this group to click into gear with the combinations that you see long term, rather than just, you know, a hope and a prayer, as the song goes, right? That you'd rather have them you know, kind of battle through this and figure it out with the guys that Bruce expects them to play with going forward. Not that all the lines are in stone and you're going to keep this group, you know, firmly together forever. There are obviously potential for injury. Cole Schwint did not play today. Whether he was a healthy scratch or an injured scratch, I never got confirmation either way. He was injured last game, lower body injury, did not return. But today, obviously, Alexander Holtz went in, which leads you to believe that Schwint was unavailable. But it's also possible that that change was made more, whether it be precautionary or Holtz had sat the last two games. He had played most of the year. So we'll see. And maybe someone will ask Bruce.
All right, Dan, any final thoughts on this one before we turn our attention to Thursday and, again, the St. Louis Blues?
I just saw Bruce leave his office, so I think you're going to have him come to the podium here in just moments. It is back-to-back Thursday, Friday, so you figure you're going to use both goalies. Do you go with Hill again against the Blues, or do you save Hill for Friday against Dallas and go with Samsonov on Thursday? Obviously, it's not the same situation for the Blues. Joel Hofer has played 16 games, 15 starts, while Binnington has played 34 games and started 33. So I guess that'll be another one to find out on Thursday, but a couple of days in between. And, Ryan, it sounds like Bruce is stepping to the podium.
All right, let's go downstairs and hear from head coach Bruce Cassidy.
Hey, Bruce. Chris Chapman, Fox Sports Las Vegas postgame show. Giving up the first goal has kind of been something that's plagued you guys all season, but it seems like going back to the Islanders game, there's been a lot of mental mistakes, some self-inflicted wounds. So what have you seen over these last six or seven games that give you reason to be concerned about the way you guys are playing?
Well, I'd say giving up the first goal, what are we, 50-50 on that, though, on the year? I don't know if we've had a bad run of it, but we didn't in Chicago or Carolina. I think we scored first, so we're starting to at least play better. I had a feeling you come off the road and you get in late Saturday and there's a Monday game at 3:00. You don't touch the ice for a day and a half. You're going to get the motor's not going to be running right out of the gate. So we have to get through that. We did. But yes, I'd like to see us be on our game quicker. There's no doubt. I just want it to be as long as possible, however that plays out. And if that means we play, start playing at the 10-minute mark and right through the end of the game, that's 50 good. You know what I mean? That's a little bit of a good formula. So we've addressed it. I've talked to you guys about it enough that it is a concern enough that we've addressed it in the group. And I think we're slowly getting there. Today wasn't a great example of that, but I think circumstances played into that. What was the second part? I forget.
Since the Islanders game, a lot of the mistakes have kind of been self-inflicted.
Yes, so. Yeah, end of periods. Again, we kill a penalty, end of the first period. We've got veteran guys out there, like understand the time and score and situation. And, you know, then the next period, we take a tripping penalty. If you go in, like, with one hand on the stick, right? If you go in with two hands on the sticks and compete for that puck, you're not going to call for a penalty because it'll be physical confrontation or you'll win the puck. So, Chicago was a board battle. We got beat back to the front of the net, didn't take care of business in front of the net. So those are concerns. Good teams typically don't do that. We're a good team, and we should stop doing it if we won't expect to win. Because there's a lot of different areas of our game that's self-inflicted. I thought tonight, Chris, I'll say this, I thought we left some plays on the table that were there, and I don't know if that was we're going through it a little bit here or it just wasn't cooperating. There was a lot of plays, including overtime, Jack, right? Like, these are plays we're going to make. I know we're going to make them. Stoney and Barbie, just, you know what I mean? The opportunities are there for that line. They're just a little bit off. So I believe that when we start making those self-inflicted stuff will go away because everything won't be magnified because we'll be playing better offensively.
There was a moment in the game where Noah Hanifin and Alex Petrangelo were -2. You made a decision to kind of switch up the pairings. What did you see that maybe you didn't like to make those changes?
-2, and it's been a little bit of that lately. They had a great run, and they'll get on a great run again. But sometimes it also allows maybe more of an offensive guy in each pair when you're chasing the game. Because we knew it was 4-2. We had to score goals to win. We said that in the room. I thought they checked pretty well for the most part. We were able to get the 6-on-5 goals. But, when you're giving up 4 every night, you need five to win. So you're going to have to, you know, get going a little bit that way. So there's a little bit of that going into it. And so that's the other thing. We have to stop. We need better play out of the goaltending position right now. We can't expect to give up four and win. Well, we're not. We're not winning, right? We beat Minnesota. We scored four, gave up one. So we just need better there. We need to outplay their guy a little more often here, and hopefully that changes.
Danny, Willie, Alan.
Hey, Bruce. Danny Webster, Las Vegas Review Journal. Going back to the goals at the end of the period, self-inflicted, yes, but is there a common theme as far as why that's happening, or is it just a situation where bounce here, bounce there?
No, I think it's a little bit of we're not as hard on the puck as we typically are when we're on our game. And you're going to go through stretches that year, and we're obviously going through it. We're just not as hard. And I think, as I said, some of the – I'm not blaming – but you need big saves to pick you up. It's a game of mistakes. It's a game of mistakes. We're not going to be clean every night. And that's where you need to be bailed out sometimes. And that's the timing of it, too. You know, that happened as much as it did, say, 2 weeks ago. So we'll get that corrected, and then – I think when things start to go better, everyone relaxes a little more too, and then you don't need that save because you're more relaxed and playing. So they kind of go hand in hand when you're not winning, and it's where we're at right now.
Bruce, Willie Ramirez for the Hockey News. When you talk about these past 2 weeks, if you go back to the championship season, almost the identical dates, 2 weeks, was your worst stretch to this point in the season. Is there something to be said that when you hit the top of the NHL, you're playing your best, you're going to have these lulls, there's no panic button to push, and you get through it, the other teams are getting better?
Well, nobody's panicking, I'll say that. We're not, you know, in the room tearing the walls down. We're you know, I said this the other night in Chicago, like, it's my job to drag him in the fight in certain parts of the year, right? Like, right now, it's a little bit of the dog January, right? We got seven guys that are going to the Four Nations. So is that on their mind? There's a little bit of that. There's the break for the, you know, so this is a month we got to push through. And we've built ourselves a cushion. So psychologically, maybe that is also going on where some of these teams now are playing catch up. They're, you know, their urgency level's higher than ours right now. And that's, you know, we're addressing that, but it's not a magic switch. You slowly come out of it. And when our urgency level goes up, we're still, you know, we're a pretty good team, very good team. And, you know, we're going to keep talking about that. But yes, this team reminds me a little bit of 2 years ago as well, where and it's interesting you say that, because we have talked about that. This was a month that we really had to slug through, I think, 2 years ago. The difference this year is we have pretty much our full lineup right now. 2 years ago, we were going through a lot of Stoney left later, but Jack missed time. Petro, I know, had a family leave. You know, we were missing some players. And we're not in that situation now. We're healthy. So that's the part that's weird. All of a sudden we get healthy and we go into, you know, we can't win. And when before we were, you know, and maybe that's in the back of the guys' minds too at times. So it's a tough one to answer. Every team goes through it. We just can't go through it much longer. I think we're all kind of like let's go right now. We have a couple days between games, so the fatigue factor should be gone, and hopefully we're fresher and have a better energy level in St. Louis.
Last one, Alan.
Bruce, offensively, is it a matter of just burying these chances? Because you referenced the fact that you're kind of pleased with the scoring opportunities, you just couldn't close the deal on some of the shots by, you know, Jack and OT. And I'm wondering how you feel about Hertl and Dorofeyev kind of emerging during this little mini losing slump.
Well, I mean, they're on, and we need it. But we need some other guys that have been, you know, fighting it a bit or not getting the puck luck to emerge soon. You can't survive with one line in a power play and winning this league on a regular basis unless you're keeping it out of your net. It's two every night against, not four. So something has to give there, and these guys have been too good in this league for it to go on forever. And we're a good defensive team. I mean, when we got on our run in, was it December? Was our, you know, we were down to 1.89 goal. Like, we're not anywhere near that either. So, you know, you can survive guys playing through, not scoring, if you're winning games because your team defense is excellent. So, we've kind of missed both here, and that's a bad formula. And maybe tonight, you know, a comeback win will give us some juice and get us going. The weird part is you're thinking you're walking out of the building with nothing, and then after Jack, you're thinking, well, we should have won. I mean, he's never going to miss that again in his life. So it's kind of an odd place right now where I'm at, because I'm, you know, is the glass half full or empty, right? So we'll look at the game, but we have to get better in certain areas. And situational hockey, last minute, you know, you talked about it. We have to start being better in those moments. Just have to be. We got to be the team that makes the play at the right moment. That's what we did to teams 2 years ago, a lot last year, the start of this year. So we got to get back to, is that confidence? Is it too much confidence? You know, where are we in that regard? And it's my job to find solutions for that, right? That's on me, you know, and it's also on the group to understand that, listen, I know it's the dog days, but we're NHL players. We pride ourselves. We have a standard. Let's get there. And all we can do is keep harping on that and talking, you know, not talking about it, but reinforcing it, teaching better. A couple of D-zone mistakes today that I got to sort out with some guys and get back in the win column.
Thanks, Bruce.
Yep.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after today's 5-4 loss in the shootout to the St. Louis Blues. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-4 in the shootout to the St. Louis Blues. Fall to 29-14-4, 62 points on the year. Next in action Thursday, 5 o'clock puck drop, 4 o'clock pregame show in St. Louis against these very same Blues. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Alex Pietrangelo left the game late in the second period after blocking a shot from Dylan Holloway, but was able to return in the third period to a regular shift. So solid stuff there, at least in terms of Pietrangelo's availability, as he was able to come back and finish out today's game. Taking a look at the highlights in this game, we go back to the first period, and the Blues tilted the ice early in the game and opened the scoring 8 minutes in on Braden Schenn's long-range wrist shot.
Left wing shot, score! Not Thomas, but Braden Schenn.
Dylan Holloway, I believe.
Schenn let it go. The Blues have a 1-0 lead.
Braden Schenn, his 11th goal of the year from Dylan Holloway and Jordan Kyrou, 8:25 of the first period, made it 1-0 St. Louis. The Golden Knights found the equalizer late in the period on Tomas Hertl's power play goal.
Another look, Dorofeev, save, loose puck, score! Tomas Hertl right in the blue paint, power play goal, and the Knights tie the game.
16th goal of the year for Tomas Hertl on the power play from Pavel Dorofeev and Shea Theodore. 14:09 of the first period tied the game at 1, but the Blues regained the lead with just 16 seconds left in the period when Nathan Walker scored on a rebound.
Thrown out in front, back to the point. Broberger shot, rebound, score! With 16 seconds to go, Nathan Walker puts St. Louis back in the lead.
Nathan Walker, his 5th of the year from Philip Broberg and Radek Foxa. 19:43 the first period, made it 2-1 St. Louis. So the Blues would take that one-goal lead into the second period and extended that lead early in the second period as Jake Neighbors walked down the wing and beat Aiden Hill.
Blues have it on the near boards left wing. Thomas the righty, chased by Hertl to the point. Down the wall to Neighbors, left dot, shoots and scores. Jake Neighbors from just below the left dot. 3-1 St. Louis, 13:29 to go in the second period.
Jake Neighbors from Robert Thomas and Colton Parayko, 6:31 of the second period, made it 3-1 St. Louis, but the Golden Knights bounced right back and pulled to within a goal just under a minute later on Brett Howden's 16th of the year.
Theodore's point shot stopped. Rebound, score!
Brett Howden from Shea Theodore and Braden McNabb. 7:25 of that second period made it 3-2 St. Louis. And the Golden Knights took a late penalty in the Blues, took advantage of as Cam Fowler restored that two-goal lead with just 30 seconds left to play.
Fowler to the middle, slaps it into the right circle. Kyrou and Fowler. Fowler shoots, score! Cam Fowler, the former Duck, slaps one by Aiden Hill, and the Blues lead 4-2.
Cam Fowler on the power play from Jordan Kyrou and Pavel Buchnevich, 19:29 of the second period, made it 4-2 St. Louis. So we'd hit the third period. The Golden Knights needed two goals to get back in the game, and they pulled Aiden Hill for the extra attacker and pulled to within a goal on Jack Eichel's one-timer from the circle.
Theodore to the right, Petrangelo. Theodore again to the left. Eichel shoots. He scores! Off the left post and in. Knights are within a goal with 3:10 to go in the third. Jack Eichel's 12th of the season.
12th goal of the year for Jack Eichel from Shea Theodore and Alex Petrangelo. 16:50 of that third period made it 4-3 St. Louis. And the Golden Knights got Hill off again for the extra attacker. And with 30 seconds left in the game, Pavel Dorofeev tied it up.
Comes to Eichel with the left boards. Low to high for Theodore. Shea feeds right. A shot. Score!
Goal of the year for Pavel Dorofeev from Shea Theodore and Jack Eichel, 19:30 of that third period, tied the game at four. We'd head to overtime. Jack Eichel would have a great chance to end the game in overtime and deliver a win for the Golden Knights, but he shovels the puck just wide. Mark Stone had an opportunity on a partial breakaway. He missed the net, so we'd head to the shootout. Jake Neighbors and Braden Chen put the Blues up 2-0 in the shootout, and Jack Eichel needed to score to keep the Golden Knights alive.
Jack Eichel charging left, the righty comes to the middle, several moves, he scores! Easy finish for Eichel, so many fakes. Bennington went down, and Jack tapped it home.
After Dylan Holloway missed in the third round, that set up the same situation for Pavel Dorofeev. He needed to score to keep the Golden Knights alive, but they fell just short.
So now Dorofeev, he must score or the Blues win. Dorofeev, the lefty, down the slot he comes. He goes forehand, backhand, he is tripped and is stopped, and the game is over. The referee signals no goal. Dorofeev smacks his stick on the ice. The Blues have won the game 5-4 in a shootout.
There you have it, 5-4, the final. The St. Louis Blues defeat the Vegas Golden Knights in the shootout. Vegas 29-14-4. 62 points on the year. Next in action Thursday against St. Louis. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
See the future of the VGK as the Henderson Silver Knights forge the night at Lee's Family Forum. Visit HendersonSilverKnights.com for tickets today. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-4 to St. Louis in the shootout, though they do force overtime late in the game. It was 4-2 St. Louis with about 3.5 minutes left to play. Jack Eichel gets one 6-on-5. And then Pavel Dorofeev, he ties the game with 30 seconds left, another 6-on-5 goal. And though the Golden Knights still unable to find a victory, still unable to get this one across the goal line, despite having great chances in that overtime period, they do pick up a standings point. Now, there's a couple of ways to look at it. Obviously, for the Golden Knights, and you heard from Bruce Cassidy after the game, what he wants to see is if it takes the Golden Knights some time to get to their game, once they get there, he wants to sustain that level of play throughout the rest of the game. And that hasn't necessarily been happening for the Golden Knights. There have been pockets here and there, and tonight, no different for the Vegas Golden Knights. You look at that first 10, 12 minutes of the third period, not a lot going on for the Golden Knights in terms of their pushback in that spot. It wasn't until late in the game where the desperation level reached its peak and the Golden Knights found a couple of goals in quick succession. So hopefully, if you're looking at this from a Golden Knights perspective and you're a fan of this team, you're hopeful that this push late in this third period can spark something for the Golden Knights, and they can use it as a springboard and parlay it into hopefully a victory Thursday night in St. Louis. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 5-4 the final. The Blues defeat the Golden Knights in the shootout. Vegas 29-14-4, 62 points on the year. Next in action Thursday, 5 o'clock in St. Louis against the Blues. 702-876-1340, that's the number. 702-876-1340. There's a couple of different ways we could go here, but it's up to you. And it's up to you picking up the phone and calling in. As a Golden Knights fan, are you encouraged by how this game ended? And I'm not talking about the shootout. I'm talking about the third period. I'm talking about the comeback and even the chances in overtime to put this game away for the Golden Knights. Does this game encourage you? Does it make you feel more confident that the Golden Knights are going to be able to pull out of this flat spot, this tough stretch that they're in? Or are you going the opposite direction? Because they didn't get the win, because they weren't able to get this one completely across the goal line, are you discouraged going into a quick two-game road trip in St. Louis on Thursday and Dallas on Friday? So encouraged or discouraged? That's what I'm after. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I want to find out from you tonight. 702-876-1340, that's the number. We have lines open right now. If you call in, we're putting you on the air. If you're at the game, I want to hear from you. Where are you at right now with this team as we get closer and closer to the end of January? 702-876-1340. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm encouraged. I'm neither D or N because Coach Cassidy said it best. He says, I don't know how to leave to the facility tonight. Am I happy we came back? You're darn right I am. But am I happy that Jack Eichel misses a shot he'll never miss again the rest of his career? No, I'm not happy about that. So it was a very strange game. And if you want to love hockey like I do and many of you do, then just attend or watch a St. Louis Knights game, any game. You're just sure to become a fan. The only game I've ever attended in regulation season is a 5-4 win by the Knights over the Blues many years ago. And that's an example of a typical St. Louis Knights game. Just amazing the way those two teams get after each other. We had a matchup of the two Canadian goalies tonight. Which one would you start in a few weeks?
I think right now, probably, I don't know, Mike, that's such a hard question for me to answer, right? Like, I think
no,
that,
it's not fair.
I think Aiden Hill and Jordan Binnington both provide you something a little bit different. Like, if you want to know what sets Jordan Binnington apart from his peers in the eyes of many, watch this game back and look at how he handles the puck. Like, look at how he handles the puck. A lot of the reason why the Golden Knights could not get an effective forecheck going and couldn't turn pucks over deep in the zone is because Jordan Binnington was excellent tonight at handling the puck and relieving that pressure for his defensemen. So if you're looking at something like that, or if that's important to the powers that be that are making up Team Canada, then, you know, the edge goes to Jordan Binnington. But both guys have shown in their career that they can get hot, they can go on a run, and they can deliver you a championship. So I don't think there's a wrong answer. And I think a lot of it's going to depend, quite frankly, on what each guy's doing in the week leading up to the tournament. I really do. And, you know, I that might be a cop-out of an answer, and that's fine, but I think both guys bring something different to the table, and it really just depends on how they're playing and what you're looking for out of your starting goaltender in that tournament.
No, John Cooper doesn't need to make a decision on January 20th. I understand that. But it's a question that's going to start, especially tonight, when these two teams played each other. Mm-hmm. It is a question that one might ask. The defense. I have to wonder now, Coach Cassidy identified goaltending as being a problem right now. We have to give up less goals. Is it time to sit somebody or somebodies on defense?
I mean, I think that it's maybe time to change some things up, and thanks, Mike, for the call. I do think that when you're pressing offensively, you are going to open up some challenges defensively. And, you know, a lot of what has happened to the Golden Knights, you look back a couple of games ago, obviously the Islanders game kind of stands out in my mind, where it wasn't necessarily defensive zone breakdowns, but it was just mismanagement to the puck. And I think more and more you're starting to see the Golden Knights, in trying to press for offense, having a little bit more left on the table defensively for the opposition. I thought St. Louis was really good in transition in this game today. So I do think that what you're looking for is just kind of reinforcing the defensive side of things and needing to be good in that stretch until the offense kind of works itself out. But, you know, as far as sitting guys, I'm not sure. You've got two guys on the, you know, waiting in the wings in Ben Hutton and Caden Korzak that can come in and give you solid minutes. But I do wonder if maybe there's a tweak to the defensive pairs for Bruce Cassidy going into that game against St. Louis. Let's go back out to the phone line, 702-876-1340. Let's hear from Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So, it wasn't like the best game ever, obviously, but it was really good to see them push and come back and score 2 6-on-5 goals. That feels really uncommon. But the game is a steak sandwich for me because my daughter was one of the Green Mites out there, and they won 2-0. So just a great night as a family for us.
That's awesome. Is that like highlight reel for your life, or like where are you at with that?
For sure. So my son got to do it when he was 8, and this is my daughter's actually. She's been lucky enough to do it twice.
Nice.
And it's every single time a completely unreal moment. Just wonderful that the Knights, and I'm sure many other organizations, give these kids a chance to get to go play on such a big stage and play the game they love in front of 18,000 people.
Yeah, I'm with you, Stephanie. That's awesome. Congratulations to your daughter. Thanks so much for the call. And, you know, kind of it gets glossed over at times when you're focused on wins and losses and records and championships, but that's the measure of an organization's success in a lot of ways, is what they're able to do in terms of bringing new kids into this sport and providing an opportunity to really fall in love with hockey. And it's hard to look at what the Golden Knights have meant to Vegas and not look at what their impact has been on youth hockey in the process. So great call there, Stephanie. Appreciate it. 702-876-1340. That's the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Jordan. Hey, Jordan, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm good.
Yeah. I'm pretty encouraged about the Golden Knights because when it comes down to close games, they have the drive to, like, push through and get stuff done. You know, we might have not got it done tonight, but, like, in regular time, they're just giving up. But when the pressure's on, they're coming out and showing out for the team. So I don't know where the disconnect is about the motivation, the drive. Maybe they're just too relaxed right now because they're in a good spot in the league. And I feel like if they just get that killer mentality in them, we could do much better in regular time because it's just I don't know where they're dropping the ball at, because we're such a better team. We have all the skill. I think they're just letting these teams that are trying to get back in the fight get ahead, and then we're trying to play catch-up towards the end. So I wish that maybe, you know, the coach could get into him a little bit. I know he's been getting into him for the past couple of games because we've been on a little bit of a losing streak. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they just need that extra push somewhere. And I don't know where it is, where the fall of communication is. The goaltending needs to get better. I don't know what's going on there. They just need to find what's wrong. Like Bruce Cassidy said, they're putting out fires, and they just need to find what it is so that they can get that chemistry going and we can just push through.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Jordan, because and thank you for the call. When it comes to goaltending, I do wonder, as it's been a strict rotation right now for the Golden Knights over the last couple of weeks, and you understand that it's been a fairly condensed situation for the Golden Knights in terms of how their games have gone, and obviously beyond it just being condensed, there's been a lot of back-to-back, so you're going to have more of a one-on, one-off rotation with the goaltending anyway. But when the Golden Knights were kind of in their peak this season, second quarter of the year, it was more or less two games for Aiden, one for Ilya, and that was more or less the rotation. And I wonder if, kind of going with that one-to-one rotation, if it's impacted the rhythm of both guys. And I don't know that for sure, but, you know, again, so much of goaltending is about kind of getting your touches and feeling, you know, in control of your routine and all that. And I just wonder if, as you get through this stretch, if there are opportunities to kind of go back to that type of a rotation where you've got two on, one off for Aiden and one on, two off for Ilya, if that kind of brings that level up a little bit. But it goes without saying that it's not just goaltending. It's defensively the Golden Knights need to get to be better, and offensively, as Bruce Cassidy pointed out after the game today, they left plays on the table, and none bigger than in overtime. Jack Eichel, wide open net, pushes it just wide, and that's after scoring a goal to kind of get the Golden Knights back into it. And then Mark Stone, he doesn't miss the net very often, and so those plays will happen again. And when they do, I expect Jack to bury that chance. I expect Mark to score that goal. But right now, while you're fighting it, you've got to find a way in every other facet of the game to kind of bring you up, and that's not happening right now for the Golden Knights. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if they can kind of use this as a springboard going into that two-game road trip in St. Louis and then Dallas, because that would be the direction the Golden Knights need to take this game. Feel good about the fact that you were able to come back, but you've got to turn it into a momentum swing in the right direction if you're the Vegas Golden Knights. 702-876-1340, that's the number if you'd like to join us on the other side of the break. It's the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 5-4, the final. The Blues defeat the Golden Knights in the shootout. Vegas 29-14-4, 62 points on the year. Next in action Thursday, 5 o'clock in St. Louis against the Blues. 702-876-1340, that's the number. If you were at the game tonight, I'd love for you to call in. Because if you were at the game and you stayed till the end, did you believe midway through the third period the Golden Knights were going to be able to come back and make it a game? Did you believe they'd be able to get to overtime? That's kind of what I'm after from you if you were here. Beyond that, does that third period push at the end encourage you about the Golden Knights kind of breaking out of this funk? Or are you discouraged because even though they were able to get to the game to overtime, there were chances in overtime that, frankly, the Golden Knights usually typically score on, and it feels like, even though they had to come from two down late in the third period, that they left a point on the table in this game. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Sounded like we have Mark on the line. Mark, you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing tonight?
I'm good.
So, I was at the game, and to be honest, I did not feel like we were going to come back. It felt like when we scored our first goal, when Hurdle scored on the power play, it was almost just a relief that at least it wasn't going to be that we have still a chance to keep it close. I don't know. It's just it feels like our defense isn't what it used to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's...
Looks like we lost you there, Mark. If you want to call back, please feel free to do so. 702-876-1340. Checking in on the text line. Frank's looking at goaltending. And, you know, Bruce Cassidy talked about it, right? He said after the game, we need better play out of the goaltending. Can't give up four goals a night and expect to win. And then said, we're not winning, obviously, because when you're giving up that many goals, it's not necessarily working for you, especially when the offense has been harder and harder to come by. Now, you can look at it as goaltending. You can look at it as team defense. You can look at it as one complete scenario or issue. But I do believe, and, you know, again, you're going to go through this over the course of an 82-game season, that the goaltending the Golden Knights have is good enough in the regular season, and it's good enough in the playoffs. You're going through a downstretch here, but I don't think it's cause or reason to believe that it's not going to get back to the level that it was just a couple of weeks ago. So, like, you work through things with players, forwards, centers, defensemen, all of it. The goaltenders have to work themselves out of this spot. They do. They have to come up with those big-time stops, even on plays where, you know, you look at the shot or the chance or whatever is generated and say, okay, not many goalies are going to make that save in the National Hockey League. You might need one or two of those in a game. That might be the difference. And so that's, I think, what you're looking for as we kind of move into the next phase here of the season. Can you get one or two of those a night? Can you get one or two of those saves that change the dynamic of a game? That's what you're going to be looking to judge the goaltenders on. And then from there, I think for the Golden Knights, offensively, it's can they bury the chances they generate inside of a game? Because as good, again, as it feels for this team to score two goals, 6-on-5, late in the game to force overtime, there were multiple opportunities in overtime where Vegas could have put the game away. Steven says, improvement, but still not good enough to win. OT sums up the slump. Great opportunities to put a game away, but absolutely no finish. I mean, that pretty much is it. Like, in a nutshell, if you're looking at why the Golden Knights have dropped 6 out of their last 7 games and why they're winless in 4, it is simply that. There were chances that they generated. There were opportunities to either tie the game earlier, bring that level of desperation up, find a way to impact the game that way, and they just weren't able to execute. It feels like right now nothing's coming easily for this team offensively, and it's not to say that the game is easy or ever easy for anybody. But earlier on in the year when the Golden Knights were scoring and scoring seemingly at will, everything was synergistic. It just appeared as if the game came naturally, and right now it doesn't feel that way for the Golden Knights offensively. And so that's why I'm encouraged by the fact that they were able to score two goals, that Jack Eichel was able to hammer a one-timer from the circle and beat Jordan Binnington. I am encouraged that Pavel Dorofeev broke that barrier and got to 20 goals on the year. I think that that can move you in the right direction, but you have to follow it up with a really strong performance Thursday night in St. Louis, and that's going to be the challenge for the Golden Knights as we move forward. Take a break. Wrap it up next on the Extended Post Game Show, Fox Sports, Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. The Golden Knights fall 5-4 in the shootout to St. Louis. Though they were able to force overtime and get a standings point out of this game with 2 6-on-5 goals in the final 3 minutes and 23 seconds of the game. First, Jack Eichel, and then Pavel Dorofeev. It was a four-point afternoon for Shea Theodore, who continues to rack up the points and is now second on the team in scoring behind Jack Eichel. But for the Golden Knights, it's now no wins in their last four games, and they've dropped 6 out of their last 7. So for Vegas, hopefully they're able to use that third period comeback as something of a springboard and get themselves righted in St. Louis, because it's a quick turnaround after that game in St. Louis, as they've got the Dallas Stars on Friday as well. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers. It is your postgame show. It's not as much fun without your calls and your input. Until Thursday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights Postgame Show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.